Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, and it begins in chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, established and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Almighty Lord will accomplish this.
Jerry. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all here this morning for the first of our Christmas series messages. And obviously, if you couldn't already work out, my name is Jeremy. I am the Youth and Young Adults Coordinator, if you haven't already worked that out. You might have also worked out that I am a pretty massive fan of Christmas, right? I am one of those people who believes that the Christmas season starts at the 1st of November. Right, but I very quietly and very patiently wait for like December when it's socially acceptable for me to really love and enjoy Christmas. Right, so I'm really excited about bringing today's message as we journey towards Christmas. And our Christmas series for this year is The Light of Christmas. And this series is not just going to cover our sermon series here on a Sunday, but it's also going to cover our festival of Christmas, as you guys already are aware. We have got obviously all the lights, the tree, everything going on outside, and if you haven't checked it out, please make sure you do. And if you haven't read the little information sheets beside each of the boxes, I'd highly recommend those. Even those are in line with light, the light of Christmas. They have a title that's light theme, they have a description that focuses on the light, and each box is obviously themed around light. So it's all about light this year for our journey towards Christmas. So of course, as for a Christmas series, the logical place for us to start is in the Old Testament in Isaiah. Note the sarcasm. But in all seriousness, it is actually a great place for us to start as we journey towards Christmas, because every story has an origin. Every story has a reason. Every story has a purpose. And there are passages here in Isaiah that are part of that origin story, part of that reasoning and that purpose. So as we do journey towards Christmas, we are going to look at the book of Isaiah and some passages throughout as we look towards Jesus. But putting Isaiah aside for one second, we're going to talk and start off by talking about light just a little bit more generally. Now, the word light in our English version of the Bible is mentioned over 200 times. It varies depending on the translation, but all of them have mentioned it over 200 times. And what that indicates to me is that light is a significant reoccurring theme that we find throughout Scripture. It's there 200 times. And the reason this is the case is because the powerful symbolism that is light, which comes from the properties of light itself. Light is an energy source. It is a source of visible light so that we can see, but it is also a source of heat. It is a sustaining source of energy. And it's for that reason that our culture and our society sort of revolves around the light and the cycles of the light. Our society is active during the day when the light is shining and we can all see and it's warm. And we rest at night when there is no light. Right? The light is our source of energy. It sustains life here on earth. And that's the symbolism that we associate with light. It is that navigating presence, that life-sustaining energy that is the symbol of light. And that's the symbol that this passage in Isaiah 9 draws on. But before we get to Isaiah 9, let's make sure that we understand what's happened before this, because context is key. So, firstly, some context, some background information. Isaiah was a prophet of the nation of Israel in the latter portion of Israel's time as a nation. This took place after the reigns of King David and King Solomon. And in these times, the kings and the rulers of Israel had rebelled against God. They'd turned away from him, no longer following him closely. And they began to worship idols and other gods. Right? They'd become just that little bit more corrupt, seeking their own selfish ambition. So Isaiah's message in the book of Isaiah focuses largely about the judgment that is to come for the nation of Israel and for the city of Jerusalem, which is what we see in the first few chapters of Isaiah. And if I could summarize the message, firstly, the message of judgment for Israel is that the nation of Israel is going to be cut down like a tree. And then that cut down tree that is left just a stump is going to be burned and scorched. Right? Which we know means that the nation of Israel will be no more. It will be cut down by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Right? But Isaiah also portrays a message for the city of Jerusalem itself, which is a powerful symbol. Isaiah says that God will bring judgment upon the city of Jerusalem that will be like a purifying fire. That God's judgment would come down upon the people to burn away the chaff. And what was left will become the new Jerusalem, which is a city once more focused on God with a righteous and holy people who will invite in people of all nations to follow after God. The city of New Jerusalem. This is the message of judgment that Isaiah portrays. A message of judgment, but also with a little bit of hope, which is the New Jerusalem. But the message falls on deaf ears. The people don't care. The people don't listen. Their hearts are hard and they're happy with the way things are going. So it comes all to a head in Isaiah 6 when he realizes just how wicked the nation of Israel has become. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has a vision. And the vision that he sees is he is standing in the temple in front of the throne. And on the throne, God is sitting. And surrounding the throne is seraphim, holy beings, angels. And they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the whole earth is full of his glory." And seeing the throne of God in that moment, Isaiah realizes that he and his nation are doomed. That they ought to be destroyed for their rebellion and their sinful ways. but instead of just drawing him, a seraphim comes down with a live burning coal and touches it to his lips. And Isaiah is not burned, but he is purified, atoning for his sins. And after being atoned for his sins, Isaiah is sent out by God to the nation of Israel to continue to proclaim the message of judgment that God has for him, alongside his message for hope. Because the message of hope is powerful and strong. And Isaiah doesn't actually go on to immediately start talking about the judgment that is to come, to try and get people to atone for their sins and to turn back to God. But he actually starts off by focusing on that hope. Isaiah 7 is titled, "The Sign of Emmanuel." And this chapter focuses on Isaiah's hope in a new king. A new king that will raise up from the stump of Israel, a sprout of growth from David's family line. As Isaiah believed that God would fulfill his covenant promises to the people, raising up a new king from David's family line and bringing about the kingdom of God. And it is this God, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, who would bring about that kingdom. He would be a righteous and holy ruler, ruling in accordance to God's will for the people. And his rule of righteousness and justice would bring and invite all nations to be a part of following after God. And this is where we get to Isaiah chapter 9, which is where we see the great light mentioned. So let's have a look. Let's look at what it says. See what it can tell us about the great light. It starts off by saying, "Nevertheless, there will no longer be gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee and the nations by the way of the sea, by the Jordan." Now, when the Assyrians attacked the northern lands of Israel, the nation of Israel, were the first to get hit and were the worst affected. And that was God humbling those people. But God also shows mercy upon them by honoring them and honoring the lands of Galilee. But what is he honoring them with? Well, that's verse 2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the lands of the deep darkness, a light has dawned." They will be honored with the great light, the dawning of the great light. And when we put that in context of chapter 7, the great King Emmanuel, we start to see that the great King Emmanuel will be born in Galilee. Will be from Galilee. They will be first to witness the great light that is the great King Emmanuel. But what will this great king, what will this great king, the great light, do for the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel? Well, it does this. It will enlarge the nations. More people will come to know the kingdom of God, and they will increase in number. They will also increase in joy. The king will bring great joy to many people, to all the people of the nation. And they will rejoice like being given a great gift. But they won't just be given joy. They will be given freedom. the great king will defeat their enemies. He will lift their burdens. And he will bear their suffering to free them from their oppressors. And every item and every garment that is used in the battle to free them from their oppressors will be offered as a sacrifice to God and be burned in the fire. For when the child is born, he will bear the government. He will rule over the kingdom and the nation of Israel. And he will rule in accordance to God's will. He will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And his rule will be a rule of peace and grace. And thus it will know no end. It will be forever the king rising from the line of David. All accomplished in accordance to God's will. This is what the great king, the great light of Israel, will bring to the people. And I hope that as we went through that list, you started to see Jesus. Because Jesus did those things. Jesus was the great lion, the man from Galilee. He enlarged the kingdom of God, inviting all nations to be a part of his kingdom. He increased our joy as we are given the gift of salvation. He has freed us from our enemy of sin and taken on the burden, which is dying on the cross, taking our punishment as a sacrifice. And he reigns over the kingdom of God. Peace and love, being our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. David's family line reigning on his throne forever in the kingdom of God, which is all in accordance of God's will. Jesus, the great King Emmanuel, the great light of the nation of Israel, and the great light for us. Now, I always like to end any sermon or talk that I do with application, because it's really good to be armed with the knowledge of Scripture, to know what it's about and its messages. But I think it's really, really important for us to know how to apply the messages to our own lives. How do we apply this to our own lives, to what we do? And I did come up with something, which is good. First application is come to the Christmas services and hear more about the light of Jesus so that we can know and that we can understand. But the second is to follow after and proclaim the great light, the great King Emmanuel. We have an incredible invitation this Christmas season to proclaim the light of Jesus, to proclaim all that he has done for us. Because Jesus is the light in the darkness. And I think we all know that there is some darkness in our world and in our society. But Jesus is the light. Jesus is the one that frees us from our burdens. Jesus is the one who brings peace. Jesus is the one who brings joy. And this Christmas season, we have an invitation to proclaim his name to the world and to our community here in the Sutherland Shire. So together, let's follow after the great light of Jesus. Let's try to be like him and the things that he does. Let us try to enlarge the kingdom of God. Let us increase in joy for the gift that we have been given. Let us bear one another's burdens, supporting each other, and give them to Christ. Let us be sacrifices to God, sacrificing ourselves and our flesh over to him. Let us rule and lead and guide people in accordance to the will of God, being bringers of peace and love this Christmas season. Because if we strive for this, if we strive to follow after and to proclaim the name of the great light, Jesus Christ, if we strive to be as good as Jesus or as much like Jesus as we can, even if we miss and we fall short, we'll be as big and as powerful as the Christmas tree outside. Let us be the light of Jesus in our community. Just like the Christmas tree is the light that guides people to our church, let us be the light of God's people that guides others to him. That is our invitation this Christmas season. And I hope that you would join us in this endeavor, proclaiming the light of Jesus. I'm going to finish off in prayer. I'm going to invite the worship team back up for our last song. But I'd just like to remind you all that if you need prayer, if you need support to help you to be and accept the invitation that you have this morning, there's going to be members of our prayer team down the front. Come and receive prayer. Let us support and bear one another's burdens so we can be the light to our community this Christmas season. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for everything that you have given to us. Thank you for being the light for us. Thank you for being the light in the incredible darkness of sin. For God, we alone could not overcome the darkness, but you have defeated the darkness. You have freed us from the burden of sin. Even though we didn't deserve it, you did it anyway. So Father, we just pray that we would accept the invitation to be the light of our world. To magnify the light of you, Jesus, to our world, to our community. Because we know, Lord, within your light there is power. And we know that your gospel will never be bound. It will never stop. Until every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.